The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
Good evening. On a very rainy, pouring rain, spring night here in New York City. My name is Musho, also known as Rodney Allen Greenblatt, and I am a senior student here at the Village Zendo, but I also lead my own small meditation group in Catskill, New York, where I live. It is so wonderful to be back here tonight in my old practice place with a whole room full of long-time practitioners and very long-time practitioners. And there was a new person here tonight, but she's gone. I was hoping she would have stayed, because I'm going to spill out the family jewels tonight. At least that's my plan. I want to say tomorrow, I wanted to make one announcement about tomorrow night. They're going to have a celebration of Walt Whitman's 200th birthday tomorrow night. And there's going to be a gentleman who's an actor and a director and a writer. His name is Johnny Stallings, and he's going to perform Whitman's Song of Myself, which is an epic poem. And it should be wonderful. That's tomorrow night, and it starts at 7 p.m. I wanted to mention this because I've actually mentioned in a previous Dharma talk that I actually went to Walt Whitman High School in Bethesda, Maryland. But it wasn't really a Walt Whitman High School. It was just named after Walt Whitman. Because if it had really been a Walt Whitman High School, it would have been a high school where every class would have been a thorough examination of every rule ever written. And every class would be about the heroic, would be a heroic faith in democracy. And there would be classes on passionate sexual freedom. And there would be a focus on the senses and the emotions. And it would all be about the frailty and strength of the human condition. That would be what a Walt Whitman High School would be like. If only it was like that. But it wasn't. It was just a regular old American suburban high school. Too bad. All right, getting back to the present. My talk tonight is called Over and Over and Over and Over. You know that when you talk about Zen, you often talk about your practice. Everybody in this room understands what we're doing here as Zen practice. And for those of you listening on a podcast, when you meet people in a Zen temple, they're going to say that they are practitioners and that they're practicing Zen. Well, when I first started, I wondered what it was they were practicing for. Practice, the word practice, in my mind, connotated some kind of goal. And that makes sense, meditation, and there would be some sort of goal. And I'm kind of a goal-oriented person, actually. I'm kind of about goals. So I really wondered what the goal was. Well, I started looking around in my vast library of books, and I came across a very interesting paragraph by our long-lost great-grandfather teacher, Taizan Maizumi Roshi. He wrote a wonderful book. It was his talks compiled by his students that came out in 2001. And the book is called Appreciate Your Life. And if you get a chance to read that little book, it's really wonderful. I never met Taizan Maizumi Roshi, but the book is really wonderful. He English was a second language, and he had a strange way of coming from Japanese to English. And the students kind of kept a little bit of the flavor of the way he spoke in his talks. He's a tragic figure, and he had his struggles, but he left behind some wonderful words. So here is, did I mention he's our Roshi's teacher? He's Roshi's original teacher from the LA Zen Center many, many years ago. Anyway, on the topic of practice, Maizumi Roshi says, "Our practice is much more than acquiring some kind of knowledge. Instead, the implication of practice is doing over and over and over and over. In a way, that is what we do in Zazen. Of course, our Zazen is just not learning something over and over. Rather, as Dogen Zenji says, it is realization itself. In other words, do not separate practice and realization. We do not practice for the sake of realization. Realization is already here. Each of us has some realization, one person more, one person less. When you do Zazen day after day, time after time, moment after moment, you are manifesting yourself as that realization. Repeat what you know by merging your life into what you know or what you have studied, and do this over and over and over again." So I think when I started, I imagined our practice to be the practice similar to that of a musician. You'd be practicing every day, learning techniques, and you would be learning and studying the work of past masters, and you'd be getting better and better over the years. And then it seemed to me that the time would come when practice is over and it's time for crowd-pleasing performances. Respect from fellow musicians, music experts, and possibly a hit record. That was the way I saw it. And the way I was thinking was that would, coming back to our Zen practice, that would be the realization or the enlightenment was my understanding at that time. But even for musicians, the hit record and the crowd-pleasing performances are rare, even for musicians. Now, many of you know me as a very accomplished visual artist. Most of you know that I make paintings and strange contraptions. And unfortunately, I am still under the delusion of some kind of ultimate success after all these years of practicing my art. I still think I'm going to have some kind of breakthrough. And my paintings are going to sell for $150,000 each. I cannot let go of this. And I've complained about this obsession in the Dokusan room because I just can't seem to shake it. I mean, it's ambition, right? I mean, ambition isn't a bad thing. And in the Dokusan room, I've brought this up. And one of my teachers, I think she was at her wit's end, she just asked me to allow it. Allow your delusion. So I'm not sure how you allow a delusion, but that is a question that I'm working on. Maybe just to be able to see a delusion as a delusion is a start. And I'm going to have to report back to you with another talk as I work this out. The reason I'm mentioning that is because maybe some of you also know that I'm also a musician, and a lifelong musician and a composer. But as a musician, I do not have the same problem, oddly. I do not think of my music in the same way as my visual art. As a musician, and even when I started at 7 years old, I was always interested in experimenting and just playing, just sitting there and making sounds. And that was fun for me. Of course, my parents had me take lessons, and I even took like a jazz piano lesson in high school, like a course. But it really wasn't what I was into. I was just really into experimenting. And later, I fell in love with electronic music, specifically. And everything about electronic music I'm fascinated with. I love electronic music. I love all the knobs and the different devices and the plugs and the amps and the speakers. I love all that stuff. And I could just endlessly sort it out and put it together and try different effects. And nowadays, it's all about software. Like, there's just amazing, incredible software. And you can have these software plugins, and you can make all these different kinds of sounds, and it's really wonderful. And I'm really into that. But I really just like doing it. I just like to play and experiment. Then just recently, since I've been upstate, I've played a couple of gigs, actually, which I never did before. Since art school, I mean, in art school, I was in a band, whatever. But fast forward to now. I haven't played in live music since I was in my 20s. And I played these gigs. We have a really great little club right across the street from where I live in Catskill. And it was really fun. But, you know, it didn't seem like it was an end at all. It didn't seem like it was particularly special, although it was fun. And when I got back home the next couple of days, I just went back to experimenting. And I kind of felt like those performances that I gave were just another dimension of my music practice. So I think going back to Mizumi's paragraph, our Zen practice is a lot more like how I've described my music practice. Mizumi Roshi says, repeat what you know by merging your life into what you know or what you have studied, and do this over and over and over again. I think he's asking us just to enjoy our practice and not think about practice as something to get better and better at, but just something simply to enjoy and to allow. And then on top of that, all of that, Mizumi Roshi and Dogen Zenji say that practice is realization itself. That's like saying practicing the piano in your room is the same as having a hit record. Pretty interesting. Getting back to electronic music for a moment, one of the things that's kind of in fashion for a while now with electronic music are loops. And loops are short segments of music repeating patterns. And you can link them together to make songs. And the loops would just repeat over and over again and be exactly the same. But the challenge of making music with these loops is to allow them to evolve. So by using effects and different kinds of instruments, these loops play over and over again, which would be kind of boring and repetitive if they were the same. But part of the fun is to get them to kind of change over time. The changes can be very subtle, or the changes can be very dramatic. But I was thinking the over and over again quality of those loops and the subtle transformation is a lot like our Zazen. We do our Zazen practice over and over. And I don't know about all of you, but I often have a loop of something I'm thinking about going over and over again. And even when I sit down, the same kind of thought pattern emerges. There's nothing wrong with that. As Maizumi Roshi says. But maybe as I'm speaking here about electronic music, it's the subtle changes that occur to those patterns that are really interesting. And when you're in your Zazen and you're having a thought loop, and you stay with it, it changes and it morphs. And I think there's a connection there. Also, another metaphor is that in electronic music, there's often a bass line or a rhythm, usually a rhythm line and a bass line, that are repeating. And all the other stuff goes on top of that. So all the melody and the special changes and the excitement and the vocals, they're on top of this low level rhythm and rhythm and bass line. And I was thinking that is like the zendo. The zendo is like the tracks at the bottom that are always kind of solid, the bass line and the rhythm section. Like the zendo has a rhythm. We come in here and we follow the little bit of rules that we have and we sit down, and it's kind of the same. Just as the drum track and the bass line create a structure that all kinds of crazy different things can go on top of. Just my way of thinking about it. So Maizumi Roshi mentions that this is to be done over and over and over and over. I mentioned to a friend last week, I was actually getting my hair cut, and I was talking to the hair cutter, and I mentioned that I was going to give a Dharma talk, and she said, what's it going to be about? And I've changed the title, but originally the title of this talk was going to be called Practice 24/7 360. And so I told her that title, and she said, wow, that sounds hard. And I was surprised when she said that, because in my mind, I was thinking about practice in a totally different way. I was thinking about it in the context of what Taizan Roshi is saying, that practice really is just the flowing reality of our lives. It's just flowing. We practice here at the Zendo, and we practice when we're outside of the Zendo. So it didn't seem to me that it was particularly difficult, although of course, life can be very challenging. And there can be very things coming at you that you haven't expected. And it can be very troubling. But those things are just flowing towards us. And they happen over and over. And those realizations and that practice just continues to happen. So it seems to me that our daily lives are no other than endless practice and realization. Maizumi Roshi says, we do not practice for the sake of realization. Realization is already here. And then he says, each of us has some realization, one person more and one person less. I was really thinking how wonderfully kind that is. We're all going to have different kinds of realizations in our lives. And I was also thinking we have different kinds of realizations all the time. And there's a scale of realizations. For example, at the very low end, you could be in the grocery store and you could notice two products that were exactly the same, but one of them costs more. That would be a realization, actually. You'd be like, wow, these things are the same, but this one costs a dollar more. That's an example of my low end of realization. Then at the high end, you might discover the meaning of the holy truth, which would be our lives right now, our very lives right now. So that would be at the highest end of the realization spectrum. And all of them are realization, which is really wonderful. And even if we are here, especially for newer practitioners, if you think you cannot get it or you're not getting what we're presenting here at a Zen temple, there's no need to worry about that. And there's no need to hope for more. Because our Zen practice gives us the opportunity to practice over and over and to appreciate our practice and our own lives over our entire lifetime. It's really a lifetime of practice that we're doing here. Our actual sitting here in Zazen is a very special thing because it gives us the time and the freedom to experience practice enlightenment as it's happening. Right now without distractions. That's one of the great things about actually sitting in silence. You can feel your practice and your realization and your very self. You can feel it happening when you're sitting quietly facing the wall. And especially if you go on a long retreat, you can really start to see what's happening with yourself right now. You get to see yourself, and the self that you see in your meditation practice is the same self that navigates the world. It's the same self that falls in love and gets angry and wishes and dreams and complains about injustice and delusion. It's that same self that you get to meet when you're in your Zazen. And you get to do that over and over again. And it's really beautiful. Once a monk said to Master Seijo of Koyo, "Daitso Chisho Buddha did Zazen on a Bodhi seat for 10 kalpas. Buddha Dharma was not manifested, nor did he attain Buddhahood. Why was that?" Joe said, "Your question is splendid indeed." The monk persisted. "He did practice Zazen on a Bodhi seat. Why did he not attain Buddhahood?" Joe replied, "Because he did not attain Buddhahood." That's case 9 from the Gateless Barrier Koan collection. A kalpa is hundreds of thousands of years, and Daitso Chisho Buddha just sat there for all those years practicing over and over and over, and he managed to never attain Buddhahood. Good for him. I think we should applaud right now Daitso Chisho Buddha. He never got anything done. Thank you. We should all practice over and over again, just as Daitso Chisho Buddha did, and as Taizan Maizumi Roshi suggests. When you do Zazen day after day, time after time, moment after moment, you're manifesting yourself as that realization. Repeat what you know by merging your life into what you know or what you have studied, and do this over and over and over again. So let's merge our meditation practice into our lives and merge our lives into our meditation practice. And let's do this over and over and over again. Thank you for listening.